This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I've got to run to keep rolling, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch the low. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yes, sir, again. How we doing, just in case you missed me? I was on at 11:30, but let's just start the show fresh on our five-hour midnight ride. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We've had our own regime change. Rami and Ryan are stepping in. Zoo says goodnight. Taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. We started with the Giants quarterback situation, as you just heard from Marco. The Raiders and Matthew Stafford have come to an agreement on what a contract would be if they're able to pull off the trade with the Rams. So Matthew Stafford was asked to go find his value, and apparently he found it. And now it's just a matter of not if the Rams are going to be willing to match or want to trade, and whether or not the Raiders or anybody else. Because, again, I want to make this clear. I don't think this is the end for the New York Giants if their pursuit of Matthew Stafford is as strong as all the reports are, that they're desperate to get him, that this is their number one priority. Just because Matthew Stafford has found the value with the Raiders doesn't mean the Raiders would be willing to make the trade. He's got to go find multiple teams to give himself the best chance to get that money. So I'm assuming he'll still be willing to talk. He's still going to talk to the Giants, see if he can come with a contract agreement with the New York Giants, and then see if the Giants are able to trade for him. He wants as many teams in this as possible, so that report doesn't mean that it's over for the New York Giants, although I think it should be. That's not what I would go do if I were the New York Giants, but, I mean, they want the sixth overall pick from the Raiders. And if they want the third overall pick from the Giants, you can forget it. That's just absolute madness. And I know a lot of people are talking about the drawing comps to Aaron Rodgers' trade from Green Bay to the Jets a couple years ago, and they swapped first-round picks. The Rams have the 26th pick. I am not swapping 3 and 26. You can forget it. Forget the first round this year. If the Rams want something in the first round this year, you can forget it. Not doing it. You would be out of your mind to do it. The whole point of getting him is that the idea that you could still, at 3, get one of these two generational talents in either Hunter or Carter. That's like the whole point of it. If you don't get one of those two guys along with Matthew Stafford and his big contract and all the other picks you're trading away, why? What are you doing it for? Again, I don't view the... I think the Giants and Jets are in different spots. You could argue that both franchises have been just as bad. I'm not trying to put the Giants on a higher level than the New York Jets. They are both at the bottom level. They are both two of the worst franchises in the sport right now over the last 7 to 10 years. There is no doubt. But the Jets, I'm sorry, after watching the NFL Players Association's ranking of the team and having Woody Johnson be the only F owner in the entire sport, and all the stories that came out with it, and his sons running the organization and making decisions on Madden and everything else. And, oh yeah, the longest playoff drought in professional sports. They are the epitome of losing. They need a palate cleanse. They need to reshape their franchise. They need a winning season just to get this new coach with a little bit of wind behind his sail. Like, I think there's a case to be made that you should look short-term with the New York Jets about winning, ending that playoff drought, and then you can go about building the franchise or thinking about moves for the future. Like, I think a Matthew Stafford trade makes more sense for the Jets, and bringing him to the team makes more sense for the Jets than the Giants. The Giants, yeah, I want to be relevant, sure. Do I want to win 7-8 games next year and have a season and feel like I'm involved in my football team and not focused on my fantasy football team by week 4? Yeah, that'd be nice. But at the same time, as much as it was a detriment to the franchise making that playoff run that year, and Joe Shane talked about it again a couple of days ago at the Combine, and how the decisions they made, namely, I mean, what decisions did they make after the 22 season? You know, the decisions we made after winning, yeah. Not the decisions, the one decision of paying $40 million to the quarterback was a detriment to the team, and it set them back in so many ways. But I still don't view them in the, I don't, if I'm going to trade for a 37-year-old quarterback, I got to win-win. I'm not just trying to get the Giants on stable footing. I'm still, almost every other team in football is in a position of what's best to win a Super Bowl and make myself a contending championship contender year in and year out. I think for the Jets, they need to just wash away the absolute embarrassment. Like, everything that happens to the New York Jets, and the Giants are getting there. Don't get me wrong. The Giants are getting there with every story that goes against them, everything that's said, you know, problems with Wink Martindale and everything else where it's the Giants are a laughingstock. But the Jets and everything, like, they don't get the benefit of the doubt on anything. I mean, any story about Woody Johnson. And I've made this joke. A report could come out that Woody Johnson sleeps upside down and drinks blood, and everybody would be like, you have a vampire running the franchise? Like, seriously? Only the Jets, man. Only the Jets. Like, they need a palate cleanse. The Giants should still be in the process of what's best for the future of the franchise. How do they turn this into a long, sustained winning program? And I don't think trading for Matthew Stafford is that answer. I still think that's on the table. And I do think that this coach, this GM, they want to win. They believe the roster is closer to that than maybe you or I do. There are some offensive pieces. They're going to have some money. You can mess with this cap hit. You could still go out there and sign interior offensive linemen, maybe another weapon in the passing attack at wide receiver, you know, maybe in a corner. There's still draft picks to be had. You've got some younger guys who are developing. Like, there's a thought that you could turn this team around with a Matthew Stafford. But I don't know. Haven't we seen Matthew Stafford with a losing program before? It was called his entire Lions career. Like, it's not like he's elevated everywhere he's been. He was with the other most losing franchise in the sport for the first three quarters of his career. Yeah, he went to the Rams with Sean McVay and a great team and one of the great offensive minds in the sport and won a Super Bowl. But you think he's going to come here and elevate this Giant team? I have a tough time thinking that. I really do. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls on it. We'll get to the Yankees and Mets as well. Clay Holmes. 6 perfect innings to start his Met career. And I'll tell you, I'll be totally honest with you. It's spring training. I'm not overly, you know, to the moon about it. It's a good start for him. But if he is a legitimate starting pitcher, like if that question is going to be answered early on this year, that Clay Holmes, it's not a problem. It's not a transition he can't make. He's actually going to benefit from the idea of not playing, not the pressure of one inning and one mistake and one walk and one ground ball that gets through the infield. Like, if that's going to all benefit him and he is going to be a legitimate third starter for this Met team, that could be as big as any other. Like, yeah, Juan Soto's huge, right? Of course. And we're seeing Beatty and whether or not he's going to be the last man on the roster and what he could be if he's the hitter they all thought he could be after his, when he first came up with the Mets. I don't know if you could find another player on this Met team that would impact, considering where they are in the rotation, which by far to me is their biggest question mark. If Clay Holmes is a top of the league third starter and solidifies that rotation, that's about as good an answer at any position, any player that the Mets could have moving forward. I mean, that would be a huge, huge positive for this team. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. We start with Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, when do you sleep exactly? You're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're up at midnight. What hours are your snooze time?
Oh, whenever I get tired, Chris.
Whenever you get tired, like
normal people.
No, I know. The problem is we're all the ones getting tired of you, so we got to figure out a way for you to get tired.
You know, 3 hours here, 3 hours there, but I haven't talked in 2 days, so don't over exaggerate as usual, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get on the first of all. You talk about the Giants, and did you watch the Duke documentary yet?
Oh, on Wellington?
Yeah.
I have not, no.
Oh, man. What about the sack exchange on the Jet one?
I think I saw parts of it. I don't think I believe I watched the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. But thank God Wellington can't hear you because, you know, let's get to what you're saying. You want to go up and get Cam, right? And that's what your dream is.
Yes.
But you want a veteran to start. So, really, the pick is null and voided. Right.
No, not at all. Why is the pick?
What do you mean?
Why is the pick null and void?
Because you keep on talking about the Washington quarterback. He went right in and he's playing. But you're saying you wanted to be like that. But also you're saying you want a veteran to come in for a year and let him sit back a year, eight to ten. Compare the two.
How can I compare the two? Did Eli Manning elevate the New York Giants?
Yeah.
Was Eli Manning the first overall pick?
No, the second.
No, he was the first overall pick. Eli Manning was
first
pick.
First, yeah, right.
He was the first pick. Right, okay. Did he start the season?
No.
So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about elevating the New York Giants.
But you keep on comparing. I'm comparing it to quarterbacks.
I also said Josh Allen. It's guys, and he didn't do it right away. Yeah, he started right away, but he didn't uplift the Bills right away. I'm talking about bringing in the future quarterback.
I know, but you keep on saying about the Washington quarterback, but you're also saying you want a veteran to start the season, maybe start the season, or at least give Cam
a guy to compete with, make it a competition, make him earn the job. Yeah, because I'm open to that. They need multiple quarterbacks. Bring in a veteran who has a chance to win. It's also a unique situation because, as unlike Washington, they had a new head coach. They had Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn could have won one game and kept his job. Mara has talked about needing to feel better. So the veteran quarterback gives you wins a little bit now if you think you're good enough and the veteran quarterback can play well enough. And you have your future with Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders as your quarterback behind him.
Right. And this drive for you to save Daboll and Shane, let me ask you a question. Besides Tracy, anybody in the draft that is better than where they were drafted at and showed it on the field? Can you give me any of the players?
Yeah, Drew Phillips. Any more brain busters?
That's the only one?
Well, you said Tracy and then Drew Phillips. Drew Phillips, I believe, was ranked as the second best defensive rookie this year by Football Focus. I mean, I'll double check that. I'll send my guys on the other side of the glass to find that out. I think that was the case. But I'm trying to look at the draft. Yeah, Drew Phillips, obviously, I think outperformed his draft pick. Tyler Newbin was the other one. Tyler Newbin, their second round pick. He performed very, very well. Malik Nabers didn't, you know, he was the sixth overall pick, but he was the best. You could argue him and the Jacksonville wide receiver were the two best wide receiver, rookie tight receivers in the league. Drew Phillips, definitely the third pick, overperformed. Theo Johnson got hurt, but looked fairly well. Tracy, obviously, as the fifth round pick, did really well. So, I mean, they only made a handful of picks. You're talking about half the draft they outperformed, and you're trying to knock it? He had two bad drafts before that. Bring up Evan Neal. Don't bring up the this year's draft, because this year's draft was good. Thomas in Queens. What's up, Thomas?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and great show.
Oh, thank you.
I want to talk about Cabrera, Oswaldo Cabrera.
Oswaldo Cabrera, sure.
Yes. The soon-to-be superstar.
Soon-to-be superstar? Okay. Oh, boy. We have different opinions of Oswaldo Cabrera, but go ahead.
Okay, so I'll tell you my opinion. I'd certainly like to hear yours.
Sure.
Cabrera has never had the chance. He's thought of as the super sub. To me, he's been ripped off. He has shown great potential. He's in his, I think he's 25 years old. He's shown great potential year after year. He plays all those, for example, he's shown his athleticism. He plays every position and every position pretty good to good, anywhere from pretty good to good. He's hit, I believe he's hit the, had the highest exit velocity home run since New Yankee Stadium over any other Yankee.
No
Lots
way.
Of,
no, that is, yeah, that is definitely,
I think it happened. I think it happened last year.
No, that is absolutely. There is no way he has higher exit velocities than Giancarlo Stanton.
No, it was one home run. I'm talking about one home run.
No, not even one.
And I could be wrong.
I mean, listen, I don't want to dismiss it. I'll go look it up. But I mean, every single list I look at for exit velocity, it's Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton for the rest of Major League Baseball.
Strike that one. He did. Okay, give you that. Strike that one. There was something he did last year. I didn't look it up before I called.
Okay, that's fine.
Something he did with an exit velocity last year. It was the first of since it's Yankee Stadium. We both could look that up. But strike that one. The athleticism, all the spots he's played. He's never broke 250 in a season, but he's never had 200 at bats. Why did Anthony Volpe get 500 bats on the house? Why? We bring in old man Donaldson, old man DJ. Mm-hmm. That's who he gets.
Well, I mean, old man Donaldson, I'll give you. Old man DJ's not fair. They signed DJ to a 2-year contract, and he was unbelievable. He was third in the MVP voting in 2020. The Yankee fans would have been, we would have rioted if they didn't sign DJ LeMahieu to a contract.
I agree.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about is this year.
Well, they're letting him play. He has an opportunity to win the job.
Yeah, that's right. I hope that they give him truly the chance and not 40 at bats like they gave Volpe. A 500 bats. Here, go get it.
Yeah, he won. He was a top prospect. Oswaldo Cabrera has not been. He was the fifth overall prospect in all of baseball, Anthony Volpe. They said, go out there and win the job in spring training, and he won the job in spring training, and they've given him 2 years. I agree with you that eventually Volpe's going to have to perform better, but I would tell you, like, first of all, a couple things you've said are wrong. He's never had 200 at bats. He's had three. He's hit.
I meant straight
in a row.
Yeah, as the regular. He was never given the chance to be a regular.
I don't think he's, when he's given the chance to be a regular, he's better in spots. He's not been that good, and he's not a very good outfielder. I'll give you infield. But, like, he's just, you know, he had a 661 OPS last year. You know, he's on bases 296. Like, to me, he's better in short spurts. Once he starts playing, he also has been a switch hitter who has been this close to giving up on hitting right-handed. So, like, I like him for what he is. I do not think he is good enough to be the Yankees starting third baseman and me feel comfortable with it. I like Oswaldo Cabrera. He can play a bunch of different positions. I agree with you on that. He can play third. He's shown he can play first. He obviously can play short and second. Like, he play every position in the infield. Outfield, he played, they needed him in 2020 to play in the outfield, and he came up and performed fairly well. Made a couple, you know, memorable catches. I think he even robbed a home run there out in right field. But in the playoffs, he was forced to play left, and it was a disaster. But Oswaldo Cabrera is a nice little player, and I think he's got a chance to win third base. I'll be totally honest with you. I think best case scenario, if you told me what I would be happiest with, I would love if Oswald Peraza wins third base. If Oswald Peraza wins third base as the prospect that has no more options, a guy who is one of the more highly touted prospects in the organization, given an opportunity to win the job with Anthony Volpe and lost that spring training. He's hasn't really hit that all that well in AAA, and he's been injured a little bit over the last couple years. But like that's the guy I'm hoping shows that he can be what they thought he could be 2 years ago. Because Oswaldo Cabrera is perfect on the bench. That's a bench guy who plays multiple positions. I don't want him to be the starting third baseman. Like, perfect scenario for me, they trade for Nolan Arenado, who hit his first home run of spring training today. I still don't understand why that anyone's against trading for Nolan Arenado. We can get into that, as we always do. But to me, the perfect situation for in-house right now is Oswald Peraza wins the starting job at third base. Oswaldo Cabrera is your bench player, and DJ LeMahieu is released. Like, that's what I think is best-case scenario. Other than DJ LeMahieu looking like 2019 DJ LeMahieu, obviously that's best case. If he wants to go out there and win a batting title, that's best case. But I just can't even imagine it. I can't even think it. He hasn't played yet. Judge is going to get his first game on March 1st. You're going to get DJ get his first game, I guess, eventually here. But like, I just can't imagine DJ LeMahieu turning back the clock. I just can't imagine it. He's even, like, have you heard DJ LeMahieu speak this spring? I don't know if you paid attention, cared enough. Like, even he is kind of like, well, my defensive numbers have stayed the same. Like, he is so down. Like, even listening to DJ LeMahieu talk, he doesn't exactly exude confidence that he believes his game is right around the corner. So I don't have any faith in that. And I like Oswaldo Cabrera as a bench piece better. I'm sorry. I know he hasn't gotten a full run of it, but like a full run of it. But last year he had 300 at-bats. He had 300 at-bats. He had a 661 OPS, and he had an 87 OPS plus. That's a 13. He is 13% worse than the average Major League Baseball player. Now, I'm not telling you that's terrible for a guy who gets spot starts, or it's awful and I need him off the team, but he's not my starting third baseman. If he's forced to be and then shows me something, fine. I'll give him every opportunity. If he has the best spring and he deserves the spot, give it to him. And if he runs with it and he has a great April, give him May. If he has a great May, we play this game the entire year. But don't expect me to be confident in it today, looking at what Oswaldo Cabrera has done. He had 300 at-bats last year. It was even worse. In 23, he had 300 at-bats. It was even worse than this past season. He had a negative 1.5 WAR. I mean, he was a terrible player. I just don't have the confidence just yet.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hold on. Someone's commenting about my voice on Twitter, and that's on. You can't quite hit the note along with the Allman Brothers one. Got one more silver dollar. You sound beautiful. I'm confused, but I can't do what I actually. I think C-Mac is good, but the Allmans are a little out of tune on that song. The Allmans might be, not me. I don't know. Those take it up with the Allman Brothers. I'm not out of tune. You kidding me? I've got perfect pitch. I thought today went well. I was disappointed for about 2 weeks. I really struggled with the song. For about 2 weeks, I had the cough. I had pneumonia. I was trying to make it through. And it feels good to be back, to be totally honest with you. I felt like the song went well. I even take a shot and hit the high note and change it up. And you know, I apologize for nothing about my singing. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the Yankees real quick and some topical stuff before we have our overarching theme about if the Yankees are still the Yankees. And I'll give the guy on Twitter, Chris, I think he just started a new podcast, so I'll give him a plug because he did something that made me think about it. Even though I disagree with him, I think he's in this particular thing. He does a good job. So we'll get to that in a second because I want to have a conversation about the Yankees. Are the Yankees still the Yankees? So I want to have a conversation about that. And also, about 100 people have hit me up with this Fox Sports list of the top 10 New York athletes. So this is what 5-Hour Midnight Rise are made of. The top 10 New York athletes. And of course, I have a real problem with number one. So we can get to that too and have some fun. As Fox Sports decided to put out a top 10 New York athletes and put the wrong man number one. So 888-808-1019. But let's talk about the overreaction, okay? The overreaction to Jason Dominguez in left field. Like, I have a tough time understanding this. The Yankees literally, and for all the stuff that the Yankees don't tell us anything, the Yankees lie to us about injuries, who knows what's happening with Stanton. Every time they tell us it's a minor injury, we expect his foot to fall off, you know, blah, blah, all that. Boone lies to us constantly. The Yankees came out and told you. We saw last year, right? We saw last year in his struggles in left field. They told you at the beginning of spring, they're going to give him a 6-week window. to figure out left field. He's 22 years old. And let's be honest, there are three plays people are yelling about in the first handful of games of spring here. One, he lost in the sun. He just lost it in the sun. I don't know if there's enough training in the world. You could lose a ball in the sun in center field, right field, second base. The catcher could lose a ball in the sun. He lost the ball in the sun. That has nothing to do with left field. He had one bad drop, one misplay ball. He had one roll up his arm when he was coming in on a hard base hit, ground ball. And then yesterday, didn't make a play in the gap that I would venture to say, I don't know, a quarter of starting left fielders in Major League Baseball today would have a problem with. Jason Dominguez is learning left field. And the idea that you have to change streams now on that decision, that a month of working at it every single day is not enough to help him become a left fielder. He was called up last year after playing mostly center field, moved to left, and struggled with balls off the bat, fading, slicing, playing the wall in the corner. No doubt, he struggled to the point that they couldn't play him in the postseason, that they were forced to play Verdugo. Now, Verdugo won them game one against Kansas City. Nobody wants to remember that. But after that, he struggled hitting. And they could have used another bat in that lineup, and they still had to play Verdugo because Dominguez wasn't trusted in left field. He had all of the offseason. He's going to have another full 4 weeks of not just, and I know that playing in the games are different, but he's going to have 4 weeks of not just playing in games, but working at it every single day. He's 22 years old, learning left field. The New York Yankees are handling this exactly right because Bellinger is the better center fielder. He's the better player. He's the better defender. You want your best defender in center field. I want Bellinger to be the center fielder for the New York Yankees. He's the best center fielder. It's the more important position. And that leads me to my other point, because I'm sorry, and maybe we'll find this out about Jason Dominguez. One, he dropped a ball in Seattle last year playing center field. And if you're telling me that Jason Dominguez, after giving an entire offseason of knowing he's going to be a left fielder, and then giving all of spring training working every day to become a left fielder, if he can't accomplish that, you think he's going to be a good center fielder? It's not a transition from catcher to first base. Jazz Chisholm never played a day of third base in his life. Yeah, he makes a couple errors here or there, but he was a pretty damn good third baseman. Like, if you can't play left after getting an offseason and a full spring training, what makes you think he's good enough to play center? And it's, you know, this is when I start to get my back up when I defend Aaron Boone and the Yankees. Because, like, and this is the other thing. Because you hear, oh my God, they just put him in center field to make him comfortable. What is with, I don't understand what the Yankees are thinking. Just make him comfortable and put him in center field. Okay, so when they refuse to move Glaber off of second base to third base, they're a soft organization, they're a joke, they're letting the players dictate what happens, and you know, they're more worried about a beard policy than they are. Like, you're allowed to force them to shave, but you can't force them to change positions. So when he doesn't move Glaber over off of second base, he's soft. They're a clown show. It's a ridiculous thing. But then with the rookie left fielder, they don't cater to him and make things comfortable for him and put him in center and actually test him and challenge him and say, go learn left field. Well, they're being stupid. I don't understand it. Why don't they just, like, it doesn't matter. You move a player, you're wrong. You don't move the player, you're soft. The New York Yankees are challenging a rookie to learn left field when he's been a center fielder his whole career. It's not that much different. And if he can't do it, they'll switch him, I suppose. But you know what? It's on him to get better in left field. And even if it starts in April, where he's not the world's greatest left fielder, he'll continue to get better at it. I want the better fielder in center. And there is no way in hell you could tell me he's going to, like, defensively for the New York Yankees. Are you telling me that the New York Yankees are going to be a better defensive team if they put Bellinger in left and him in center? I don't think they are. Now you've weakened center field. I don't want a weakened center field. I want center field to be good. That's the more important position. I think we're overreacting, and the idea that it's been a couple of games, and quite honestly, people are reacting on three plays. One's not that bad. A lot of left fielders would have a problem with. And the other one, he lost in the sun. He's going to play 90% night games. He hasn't played a single spring training under the lights. He's playing it in the high sun of the Florida skies with no upper decks in minor league baseball facilities. Like, you got to give it some time. The Yankees are right. He's got another month. He's a young kid challenging him. Challenge him. And I understand the other thought process that people aren't grasping, or, you know, is that they want him in left because they don't want to move him. They want the best player in center field. Trent Grisham is their fourth outfielder. Trent Grisham is a world-class center fielder. Why pay Trent Grisham $6 million to be your fourth outfielder if you're not going to take advantage of him playing center field when he plays? Like, that's part of the reason he's an excellent defender. Like, I heard Keith talking about this earlier today. It's not that they can't have Trent Grisham play left, or they don't think he's good enough to play left, or that it's a problem playing left. They're paying Trent Grisham $6 million to be their fourth outfielder, and they're doing it under the guise of, when he plays, he's one of the best defensive center fielders in the game. He's a gold glove caliber center fielder. Why pay him $6 million to not play him in his best position in the few games you play him? So when he plays, they're going to play him in left, and in center, and they'll move Bellinger, or if Bellinger moves to DH or gets the day off, or if Judge gets the DH, which I think would be most of the time, Bellinger can play right. They don't want Dominguez center to right, center to left, center to this, because they know they're going to play Trent Grisham in center because they view him as a world-class center fielder, that part of the reason they're paying him is how good he is at that position. So they want Dominguez to learn left for two different reasons. One, Bellinger's the better everyday left center fielder and better outfielder overall. And Dominguez, they don't want him moving positions. And when they play Trent Grisham with no DH, might be more than you think, they want him in center. And they don't want to move Dominguez. They want Dominguez to be one position player. They are doing it exactly right. It's up to Dominguez to learn how to play left field. He's a world-class athlete. He's been one of the bigger prospects in the organization for a long time. He still has a month. That's not tomorrow. Like that's not like, oh my God, it's only a month away. It's a month. It's 30 days of working every day at it. Jason Dominguez will be fine. And if he's not, they'll move him to center, I suppose. But he's going to be a starting out. They don't have an option. And I want to see his bat. And he's going to be important to this team. His switch hitting ability, his on-base percentage ability, his power. Like, you got to see what these prospects are. The overreaction to him losing a ball in the sun and then running a ball down in the gap in this game yesterday, that's not an easy play. He didn't drop a pop-up. That ball wasn't in the air for 20 minutes. That was a rope to left center. Should he have made the play? Of course. I'm not saying he shouldn't have. Does a very good left fielder make the play 9 times out of 10? 99 times out of 100, whatever you want to say. Fine, I get it. It wasn't very good, but it wasn't a disaster. I mean, you know, Castellanos is playing for the Phillies. Like, there are bad outfielders all over the place. The Yankees will live. And he'll get better even as the season goes along, even if he's not a great left fielder to start the year. This isn't the playoffs. He wasn't good enough to play in the playoffs. He wasn't good enough when a drop fly ball cost you a series. They're going to give him April, even if he struggles throughout all of preseason. He's got plenty of time. It's a crazy overreaction. Crazy. Now, the other news is J.D. Martinez, as the Yankees have been in touch with J.D. Martinez. It makes more sense today than it did before they found out about the Stanton injury. But I still don't. I'll do it because they need a bat, right? If they do it, if while I'm on the show right now talking, we find out that the Yankees signed J.D. Martinez to a one-year $6 million deal, or I don't know, $8 million deal, or whatever it's going to cost them because he doesn't have a lot of offers. Like, I'll be excited because I think they need another bat. But he doesn't do anything else for you. And he finished the season, like, he came through with a couple of hits towards the end of the year and the postseason, but he was fading. I'll give it a try because at the start of the year, like, now, if you remember last year, and plus, the other thing about it is it better be quick. Because if you remember, he signed late. I was actually, I filled in for Sal with BT. It was the Friday of the first round of the NCAA tournament when the Mets signed him. So that was very late. You want to get him in camp. You want to get him acclimated. You don't want him to miss April. The whole point is to have him for April. So if you're going to sign J.D. Martinez, it's got to happen like now. First, that's got to be a decision you make right now. And I'm willing to try him out for a couple of months because that's really all. Like, once Stanton comes back, they don't need him anymore. He doesn't do anything else. That's why I want Nolan Arenado. That was obnoxious, I know. That was like the Jimmy Fallon radio guy. And we're back, Nolan Arenado. Because Nolan Arenado can play third base and played brilliantly. And we talked about the bus ride he took the other day. Like, I think he just wanted to take a bus ride to just let the Yankees know, like, hey, it's cool to be here. Like, I want to show up, want to show my face, not to perform. It's the third preseason game, third spring training game. Like, he's not in regular season form right now. He had a home run yesterday, though. But Nolan Arenado provides you playing at third base. It gives you an option to play different guys at DH. He's in the field. You can maneuver things. Like, there's a J.D. Martinez does nothing but hit. And honestly, he looked washed by the end of the year for the most part. He was in a horrible slump through August and September for the Mets. I would do it because they need a bat. I believe they need a bat. So if they do it, I'll talk myself into it. But go trade for Nolan Arenado. I think they're desperate to move him. It's just a matter of getting the money, talk every day, figure out. And for Hal, he's got to be willing to spend a little bit of money. He's over the luxury tax already. You got to do it. They need a bat. Nolan Arenado fits this team perfectly. He comes in. He's your third base option. Oswaldo Cabrera goes to the bench. You're able to maneuver different things at your DH position, and you are, without question. I know Oswaldo can play, and I know Peraza was a better shortstop than Volpe coming up through the farm system. I'm sure he's a tremendous defensive third baseman. But already you got Jazz Chisholm talking about and making slick plays between him and Volpe and talking about they could be the best double team, the double play combination in baseball. They could be. You got Goldschmidt at first. That is an unbelievable defensive infield. And if you're going to be light offensively, like, and they've already kind of pivoted to a defensive and pitching team, he plays into that. His offensive season last year is still better than anything you're going to get from any of the other three candidates at third base. He's a proven guy. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's still one of the better defensive players, and that solidifies that infield. As in my mind, arguably the best defensive infield in the game. I like having the best of things, right? And if you look at it, you could argue in the American, if they trade for Nolan Arenado, you got already, in my mind, the best rotation in the American League this side of Seattle, and I think it's right there with Seattle. I still think, arguably, with Devin Williams now as your closer and Weaver in the way he pitched last year, you could have the best, maybe not overall bullpen. I would still look at you know, Cleveland still has some arms and different things, and they've already dealt with some injuries, and they're waiting for Loaiza to come back. Maybe once that happens, I'll feel differently. But you're talking about a 7-8-9 with Ian Hamilton, Weaver, and Williams as good as anyone. So I've got arguably the best rotation, arguably the best back end of the bullpen, along with Cleveland. And now I have the best defensive infield in the game, along with the best offensive player. Like, I like having the best of things. I don't understand why that's not a move that the Yankees haven't already made. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Bayside real quick. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? You know, do people remember how bad Aaron Judge was in 2016?
No, I don't think they do, with how many strikeouts he had. He struck about half the at-bats.
Exactly. And, you know, now not everyone is not going to pay off like Aaron Judge.
Sure.
But if you want to have a chance to get players to come up through your system, you're going to have to live with some of the growing pains. It's mm-hmm. just part of it.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, it's not, I mean, it's not like he lost the ball in the sun and then couldn't run down a hard, a big-time hard-hit ball into the gap. Like, we haven't seen drop pop-ups or anything where you're like, my God, the guy doesn't belong on the field just yet. You're going to have to live with the idea that he's not a great defensive left fielder to start the year. He's a young kid. He's a switch hitter. He's got speed. He's got all the physical tools, and they've been waiting for, they signed him at 16. I've been hearing about Jason Dominguez, like, forever.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been holding on to my Jason Dominguez baseball collection, all the cards for like 5-6 years. Like, it's time to let him play. So I think and again, just putting him in center field, the idea that he's going to be this great center fielder, I think you're weakening the most important defensive position you do that. I'd rather have him struggle in left field than be a below average center fielder. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have him be a really below average left than a slightly below average center.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and let's move on to Hal.
Yeah.
Look, the Yankees. Look, in terms of revenue, the Yankees still are the Yankees because
yes.
they still outpace everybody in terms of revenue. Now, in terms of how they spend that revenue, no, they're not the Yankees and haven't been for a long time. But you know what? Really, nobody is what the Yankees used to be. Not even the
right.
Dodgers. The Dodgers get a lot of credit right now because they're basically raiding the Japanese league, the NPB,
yeah.
and that's because they have a geographic advantage that the Yankees just don't have. If the Yankees were on the West Coast, they could be getting the Ohtanis of the world, but they're just not going to get those players.
Right.
Even somebody like Steve Cohen, you know, he had the exact offseason that I actually feared that the Yankees would have, in that he signed Juan Soto for $1 zillion
mm-hmm.
and then actually held out the entire offseason to get his first baseman at the contract that he wanted, and basically just gave you a bunch of spare parts after that. He did not have a George Steinbrenner offseason. In terms of just spending money like crazy. And the one time that he did do that a couple of years ago, it blew up in his face the next year.
Yeah.
So look, in the salary cap world that you have now, or not salary cap, I mean in the luxury tax world that you have now, really nobody acts the way George did.
No. And when I have my, maybe I'll do it in the top of the hour, when I talk about them being the Yankees, like a lot of people talk about winning. Like it's not just it's that, you know, they won more than everybody else. That was the Yankees. Because yeah, the spending point, to your point, house, you know, they didn't have the luxury tax, they didn't have the revenue sharing. You know, George Steinbrenner didn't have a building that he subsidized that he's got to pay $600 million a year on the lease. Like there's a lot of reasons why he's not spending money. Hal's not spending money like his father. There's a lot of reasons for it. But it's not only that. It's just that the perception of the Yankees are special, the Yankees are known for winning, and now it's been so long, and they never put the best team in the American League on the field and all that stuff. So it's also winning championships that people want to talk about.
Look, I think we all feel like with Hal, every year, it's been an annual thing that every year they go into the season with an incomplete team,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that back in the day, the Yankees did not do. The Yankees hit opening day with a roster. I mean, you know, you think of some of the great Yankee teams, they had a bench that was better than some teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know about completely, complete. I don't know. I mean, I know they went into a season with Chad Curtis and Ricky LeDay as their, like, you know, tandem in left field in 1998.
Well, no, I'm referring to the 98 Yankees.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like Chili Davis and Daryl Strawberry on the bench.
No, I understand that. They had Raines and Boggs and stuff like that on the bench that night. Cecil Fielder. Like, yeah, that 96 team had a bunch of former stars on the bench. But besides that, again, when we say incomplete, the 98 team didn't have a left fielder. They had to call up Shane Spencer. Like, people don't remember that. They didn't have a left fielder. It was Ricky LeDay. It was Chad Curtis. Like, there's always, you're not perfect. No, even the 98 team had holes. They needed Shane Spencer at the end of the year. I'm not trying to knock that 98 team. I'm just saying, like, we talk about it. Like, and it's this idea, and I'll do it at the top of the hour. That it's the big bad Yankees. They're not the Yankees anymore. They haven't won a World Series since 2009. They win as many games as everybody else. They're just another team. They're not special. They're not this. They're not that. And my question is, you know, I'll get into it. When we act like that just changed. It changed when they instituted the draft. Like, I mean, it changed a long time ago. And especially with championships, talking about championships, oh, the Yankees used to win championships and championships. Yeah, okay. While George was gone and banished, they built an incredible core of talented, clutch, great players who won four championships in 5 years. No doubt. If you take that time period away, if you take that team away, and you take those 5 years away, go through their history. Tell me when they're the big bad Yankees.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.